All righty, thanks for tuning in this evening. My name's Ray Lager. I'll be your host here for the next hour. Butte Views and Beyond, made possible, of course, by you. And thank everyone that participated in our silent pledge drive. Go to KZFR.org, donate tab, help yourself. If you want to do the text thing, you could pledge KZFR to 44321 and Venmo fans at KZFR901. You know we'll still take it. Alrighty, we want to thank Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts creates economic opportunity by providing and supporting events and by publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know and or have your event listed, visit friendsof.art. And also by Drunken Dumpling in Chico, serving locally sourced, fresh, handmade Asian fusion comfort food at 1414 Park Avenue, Suite 120. Just behind Nobby's. Open 4 to 9, Tuesday through Thursday, 11 to 9, Friday and Saturday. Details on Facebook, Instagram, and at drunkendumpling.com. Where the food, where they love food, flavor, and our community. Your little Ken Clark, a theme song, Eternal Funk. Let's let them wow. Oh, yeah. Ken Clark, Eternal Funk. It's Thursday night in Chico. Thursday night market happening right now down on the down there on the plaza and all around. Everybody's getting set up, ready to kick it off here. 6:02. So, yeah, man, if you're heading down, come on down. It's going to be a nice warm night. Welcome to summer. And, of course, don't forget Friday night concerts right there on the plaza as well. Yeah, we got some nice interviews lined up, some things happening this summer. So, without further ado, let's get to it. I'd like to welcome back Pat Macias, the executive director at Monca. Thanks for taking time to be with us on Butte Views and Beyond tonight.
Great. Thank you.
For sure. So pretty exciting. 5 years, fifth anniversary for Monca, located in the Veterans Memorial Hall right there on Esplanade.
It is. You know, time flies. Time flies, and even though we've been a museum since 2011, we haven't been in this space until 2017. So before that, we did pop-ups downtown when somebody had a vacant store and they said, you want to do a museum for a month? Of course, we loaded up our stuff and we trucked it down there. So we did 8 of those.
Wow, I remember some of those.
Oh, and they were fun. They were fun. It was almost easier. But then in 20, I would say 14, we really started to push for our campaign to renovate the building that we are in. And we cannot thank the county enough. The county owns the building. And we have just a fabulous relationship with them. They see the value of having this building occupied instead of just sitting there as a beautiful classical revival building on the Esplanade. So we have had many, many, many conversations with them about what's the best use. And we finally calmed down the neighbors, and the neighbors love it now.
I'm sure.
And you know, we haven't gotten in their face at all, I think. People don't understand that a museum is a pretty We can be really fun and exciting, but it's also, for the most part, a pretty calm institution.
Yeah, it's pretty passive. I mean, you know, and again, to have a building abandoned is never a good thing.
That's very true. That's very true.
Even if you think, well, it's made out of stone, it's made out of sandstone and granite, whatever, it's going to deteriorate. There's going to be leaks. There's going to be infestations of unwanted things.
Yes.
You know, and it just attracts, it just does that. So, it's funny because you say that and it's just like, yeah, it's such a peaceful presence, which is what I really like about it.
That's very true. That's very true. Even our neighbors, when we have our yard sale, our neighbors to the right go, "Oh, do you have a sale?"
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, "Oh, that's good. That didn't impact them."
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great. Now, do you have some? You have any events planned, or what's going on these days?
Well, right now, we just finished the yard sale, and number one, the community was so generous in donating things for us to sell. Well, and then because we don't price anything, people have to want to give back when they buy things. So again, the generosity was overwhelming. We made $6,100.
Wow.
So that really is a nice little part to help our operating budget.
Yeah, that's great.
So we had that, and then the following week we had our birthday celebration last Saturday with the opening of Red, Yellow, and Blue, which is the our logo colors, but it also turned out to be one of our strongest shows. It's an amazing array of talent in use of those three colors. We had 225 people come Saturday night.
Wow. And is this still up?
Yes. It's up through August 21st. Oh, so it just opened and it will be up for 2 months.
Oh, great.
Before we unleash the Tales of Tattoo show. So we're going from, you know, one to the other. We've got shows pretty much booked all the way through up to 2023.
Oh, that's great.
More and more people are entering things from the Bay Area, from Mendocino area, and it's nice to get a variety. We have great Chico artists, but you know, it's fun to introduce the others too.
Oh yeah, yeah. Northern California. There you go.
Yes. All the way down to San Jose.
All the way down. Okay, yeah. Oh, that's you know, that's fabulous. And again, it takes a couple of years, I would imagine, to get things established and, you know, learn the ropes and all those things. And the fact that you're starting to, people are starting to discover you is exciting.
It is. We get tons of people now that are passing through Chico or staying with somebody, and they come in and I go, "So how did you find us?" And they said, "It just pops up on things to do."
Oh,
so, you know, what more could you ask for?
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And, you know, I mean, it's such a beautiful location on Esplanade, which is, you know, by far one of the, you know, more beautiful old school avenues that you're going to find.
Right. You
know, that isn't like right. inundated with traffic or coach
hand. Oh, no, it is. It is. There are thousands of racing cars going down there, but that's okay. They love to use it as a racetrack.
All right. Well, very cool. And if people want to get involved, what's the best way for people to, or if you, you know, if they haven't been to Monca, you know, it's, why don't you tell us a little bit about your summer hours and maybe some programs if you haven't gone this summer?
Sure. We have, we are open Thursdays through Sundays, 11 to 5. And the best way to kind of find out what's going on, I'm going to tell you some things, but is to check our website. And we do Facebook and Instagram for the most part. Those are the social media outlets that we use. Every Friday, third Friday of the month, so the third Friday of July coming up, is an event that that is about red, yellow, and blue. And basically, it's 6 to 8 at night. It's for people who just kind of want to get out, want to be with friends, want to bring somebody here. We have music, we have an event, we have a bar, and it's just very low key. It's $5 if you're not a member. It's free if you're a member. So those have been really fun. We had a poetry and journal writing one last week that was very, very popular. Christine McShane has been doing her painting classes here on the third Thursday of every month.
Oh, great. So
you have to go to her website for that to sign up for those, but she still will be continuing to do that on the third Thursdays. We didn't do a camp this year. We thought about it, but then with COVID and kids just getting out of school at the end of the year, which was crazy anyway, we decided we would hold off and do another camp probably next year. But we do plan to have a docent training and prepare folks to go into the classrooms this year. We've missed that for 2 years. We haven't been able to do that.
Sure. Oh, that's great to see that return. That's a great program.
It is. It is. So other than that, please come in. We have great memberships. In fact, our memberships are going up, up, up. And we will be having a great surprise coming up, announcement in October probably, as we are preparing to think about the large auditorium space in the back.
Ooh, and doing how exciting.
And doing a capital campaign for that. So we are very excited.
You know, I was thinking to myself, should I even ask?
I can't keep it quiet. So,
I guess you and I, we take for granted. First of all, MONCA stands for Museum of Northern California Art. That's your
right.
Your acronym there. But that building, I mean, they used to do car shows in that building.
They did, and wrestling matches.
Wrestling, yeah. I mean, all kind of crazy things. I if you talk to people that went to high school here, you know, in the 70s and on into the 80s, I mean, it's amazing the things that went on inside that building, and it's absolutely huge.
It is. That will increase, that will double the capacity we already have up in front. Because we're using 4,000 square feet right now, and that's about 9,000 something. Plus, it has a stage; it'll seat 300 people.
Yeah, so that would be. Is it something? Well, maybe I'll let the surprise come later.
Okay. I'll tell you more about that one.
I'm excited that you went down that you opened that door. So I appreciate that. Very cool. Okay, let's give the website one more time if people want to get involved. And, of course, you become a member, become a docent. Go check it out when you have friends coming. Maybe go to an event.
And, volunteers. We have wonderful volunteers. We can always use more also. So, and we now I just want to say also that we do rentals. And we have been doing – well, we have a Enlo board retreat rental coming up.
Oh, nice.
We've had two – 50th birthdays, we've had celebrations of life, we've had weddings. So check out our rentals also and give us a call because it's a beautiful space.
Get married in the museum. How cool.
Yeah. Yes. So it's monca.org. And please come in and visit Thursday through Sunday, 11 to 5.
All right. Thank you, Pat, for taking time. And
thank you.
Hope to see you soon at the museum.
Great. Thanks, Ray.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Peyton, taking us to our next interview, Little Duke's Strut from Peyton's Place, right here on Butte Views and Beyond.
Dave Pittman, welcome back to Butte Views and Beyond. And you guys are getting ready for the fireworks in Oroville Airport.
Yeah, Ray, well, thanks a lot for the invitation. I appreciate the discussion, and we are. The folks have offered their donations toward the fireworks contract for the pyrotechnics, and we're very close to reaching our minimum target goal, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
We appreciate all the agencies that are helping out from the city, the state, and the county. And, of course, some of our major donors, the water service, Taco Bell, the hospital, they've always come through each year for us. So especially California Water Service, that's a big help. Is a big help.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, there's been so many things going on. And, you know, it's interesting with the return of people, events happening and stuff. Everybody's making up for lost time. So I know that, you know, there's a lot of competition out there these days.
There is a lot of competition. Plus, you know, the people want to get out and do things. And this is one of those get out and do things that's going to happen on the Monday of a holiday weekend. So it'll be the conclusion of the weekend. And it's also a nice family event because you can park around the perimeter of the airport or go to the golf course. The golf course is going to have an expanded ticket sales this year and have more planned use for folks if you wish to go to the golf course. But yet it's also free if you want to park on the perimeter of the airport outside of the security fence and just enjoy the fireworks show. It'll be roughly 20 minutes after sunset.
Okay.
And it'll shoot off in the same location in the center of the airport. Some people have raised questions about safety and security of the fireworks show. And I will tell you that the fire department is pre-burning the entire area, so there won't be any combustible vegetation in any proximity to the event. We'll have a very similar show, probably more fireworks than the big fireworks. We had some 10-inch shells last year, and people just didn't think that was the best thing in the world. They enjoyed more duration of the show, so we've tuned it to that activity.
Yeah, that's nice to adjust to the, you know, sometimes you got to listen to the people, and if you can get an extra 4 or 5 minutes out of it, it's like, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, this year I also want to thank the Oroville Chamber and the Oroville Economic Alliance to facilitating the contract for us. That was a big help, and the community likes to help this event out. I haven't run across anyone that isn't willing to help or offer their time or trouble or just their $25. We get the small donations up to the big donations. So we have the thermometer on Facebook, and we're very proud to show our donators their name, their contribution, and the fact that they're willing to help celebrate the 4th of July.
Yeah, the people, I guess we should say this is all happening in Oroville on the 4th of July.
Yeah, that's correct. The Oroville Municipal Airport out on Chuck Yeager Way off of between Ordan Boulevard and Larkin Road.
Yep, on 162 right there.
Right off of Highway 162.
Yeah.
We have the Oroville Police Department's lead law enforcement agency, and they've coordinated with the California Highway Patrol, Butte County Sheriff's Office, the State Parks Rangers, the fish and game folks at the Wildlife Refuge area, and again, Butte County Sheriff's Office, which manages the after bay. We've got a lot of folks that are helping out.
Oh, yeah. This has always been a very big event from agencies up and down the pike. So it's always good to see. And it takes a lot of effort. But it's such a great community event, as you mentioned. It's free. If it's new to you, just Google Oroville Airport and look at the roads around those. And any of those roads, especially the ones kind of towards the southeast, excellent viewing. Excellent viewing, and it's not a big congested area, so it's really great.
We would ask everyone respect the private property. Of course, if you're alongside the road in the right of way along the road, make sure you park way away from the pavement. Larkin Road has been known for people to drive a little faster than normal. And there's some curves there that are kind of blind curves. So please pick your spots very carefully and in respect the neighborhoods. There's a lot of new homes that have been built out in that area. And please respect the neighborhood property folks. I will tell you, a lot of them probably are going to have their own little fireworks show in their neighborhoods because Oroville City does allow the sale of safe and sane fireworks. That's and right. I just noticed those booths are just going up in town right now. The sale begins, I believe, about 2 weeks before the 4th. And those are safe and sane, and they're legal to utilize inside the city of Oroville on your private property or in the right in front of the street. That's where a lot of neighborhoods will go together and buy a few boxes and share with their neighbors their fireworks.
All right, but not allowed in the county.
Allowed in the county. That is correct. So if you have the safe and sane fireworks, make sure you're in the city of Oroville to operate and use those.
And you're on pavement with about 10 yards all around. Yeah.
Yes, that's very true. We and always have some water available or some extinguishing. A pan of water is generally enough available that's quick to disperse. Some of the safe and sane fireworks do actually go into the air, and you want to be careful about those. There's directions on each one of them.
Yeah.
But we just look forward to the celebration to be nice and quiet and calm and let the kids enjoy it. And I don't think there's any more thing fun than to see some small kids with the sparklers spinning them around in the air and walking around showing off to their neighbors. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. And speaking of water, if you are heading to the fireworks, make a day of it. You could go to the Four Bay Aquatic Center. You could go to the Lake Oroville. There's so much access right there, right around the airport area. There's two or three access points to kayak, just go hang out, do some fishing. So it's a full day of fun.
It is. And in fact, I believe the Nelson Avenue swimming pool has been reconstructed. I believe it's open now to the public use. So if you're over at the Nelson Park off of the end of 6th Street, I'm pretty sure that swimming pool will be available to you. And as Ray mentioned, of course, the Four Bay, the South Four Bay and the After Bay, they'll be open until about sunset.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's there's just a lot to do. And, of course, at the Aquatic Center itself, you can rent kayaks and canoes and all that stuff. And there's a beach, and you can have big fun there as well.
And one of the advantages at the airport is it's relatively flat topography. So even if you happen to be at one of those places, you're going to see the show. It shoots off to about the 300-400-foot level. So topography-wise, you can be just about anywhere in Oroville and enjoy the show.
Yeah, as well as the foothills. Yes. You know, you could probably see it from Neal Road in Paradise coming down the hill.
That's true. We get a lot of folks from Biggs that likes to keep an eye on it because Biggs is very close to us. In fact, parts of the Biggs Elementary School District touch the city of Oroville. So,
oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah.
There's a lot of good community effort going on here, and this is just going to be a fun event for the 4th of July and something to share with your family and friends and neighbors that the day that we celebrate the beginning of our country. And yeah, one of the things that we use fireworks for is the day that it occurred is they shot rockets off from the ships in the bay.
That's right. Fort McHenry.
Fireworks has been a commonality for this celebration.
Yeah, Fort McHenry. I was there when I was a kid.
Right there. Oh, okay.
Right there in Baltimore. Yep. Pretty historic. Yep. All right, very good, Dave. Thank you. And let's see, if people want to get involved, make some donations, send them to the Facebook page. What's the best way?
Facebook page is great. Also, the Oroville Chamber of Commerce website has a link to make a donation online if you wish to do that. On the Facebook page, there's also a form to fill out if you want to send a check in to Oroville Rotary. You're welcome to do that. Just to the P.O. Box 6227, Oroville, California, and mark it for the fireworks. And we're happy to post your donation on the Facebook fireworks page.
Yeah, and, you know, Oroville Rotary's been doing this for years and years, and hats off to you guys for keeping this event alive. I know that we've been through a lot over the years, and, you know, it's like, yeah, you can always, there's always someplace else it seems, but you know, every now and then you just have to have a celebration and everybody right. put your hair down and be grateful for what we got. and enjoy your neighbors and get to know them. And, you know, let's exhale and you know. Yeah.
Well, and I want to add, Ray has been a big help in the past, too, in coordinating. We used to have him up on the Lake Oroville off the backside of the dam. We had to move away from there, and we had to find an alternate location. And we've Ray is right. We've had a struggle from 1 year to the next. And this year, again, the airport fireworks seems to be a pretty safe location. And it's also a shortened location where once you've viewed the fireworks, your time away is probably less than 25-30 minutes. When we were up on the dam, we had a lot of time trying to get everybody out of there in a reasonable time and effort. So
yeah,
this worked out really well.
This location is great because you got 99 and 70 and 162. You got a bunch of different ways to go. If one's crowded, yes, go the other one.
So, I'm going to say 40 minutes after the event, everybody's home.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, I hate to speak for Mr. Smith, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Oroville Chamber is going to live stream the fireworks again.
That would be great if they do. I would keep an eye on the Chamber's website and Facebook page.
Yeah.
They did it. It's a great opportunity to do that. And there's some other folks that will probably do it too. But, you know, it's always fun to, if you're a photographer, to try to capture that great picture. And there'll be a lot of those fireworks that go off. Oh, I should add, this year it's going to be a hand light show. And I didn't know what that meant, a hand light show.
Oh, okay. Actually,
I was kind of scared because I thought the hand lights. No, they'll be lighting each firework by hand fuse. There's no electronic fuses. So this year, we won't have any false send-offs. And the crews actually recommend or suggested that and actually requested that it be a hand light show. So it'll be fun to see if it's any different for us.
Yeah, that will be fun. Kind of a little more artesian, I guess, huh?
There you go.
All right, Dave, thanks, everybody. And again, go to Oroville Fireworks on Facebook or contact Oroville Chamber of Commerce website for links and information about the, once again, how many years has it been? We got to count on this.
Well, since 2013. The 2012, we did not have fireworks, and Rotary picked up the ball to try to get the fundraiser together. So.
And I know it's been going for many years before that, on and off. Yeah. I understand 1 year they shot them off downtown up on the levee.
That's true. And we're always looking for alternate locations, but this year is the safest place is at the airport.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Dave, thank you so much for joining us and have a great 4th of July. Happy Independence
Day. Thank you, Ray. Day. Much appreciated.
All righty. Thanks for tuning in. I got a little music for you. I'll keep it jazzy here, right here on BPUs. Cool sound. Stan Getz, Six Nicks Quick Flicks. You got it. Cool talking verb, trying to keep you cool. here on this 23rd of June.
Hey, I have a new guest, Jerry Miller. Welcome to Butte News and Beyond. And Jerry is the artistic director at the Theater on the Ridge in Paradise. Thanks for taking time to join us tonight.
Thanks for inviting me, Ray.
Yeah, well, you guys, I thought it'd be nice to check in. It's been a little while, and I know that you have a upcoming new show starting in July, Erinus. I read the review. It sounds pretty wild.
It is a wild show. It's pretty much unlike anything I think anybody has seen before.
Yeah, why don't you give us a little teaser on it?
Well, in a nutshell, it's about a group of very diverse people who come together because they have the love of one thing, and that is air guitar. And this story follows their path as they go from, you know, the local bar to state to regionals to nationals to finally the international air guitar competition, which is a very, very real thing. People say, well, there's not really an air guitar union. I go, oh, yes, there is. And they take it very seriously, especially in Europe.
Oh, that's wild. That's wild. Well, I know our KCFR listeners, we have droves of air guitar players out there every afternoon and evening. So,
and it's, this follows the air guitar international competition rules. That's, you know, there's performances within the show and it all adheres to the actual rules of national air guitar. And the thousands of people that are involved in this, it, you know, when I started researching it, just surprised me how big the air guitar competition is.
Yeah, that's kind of mind blowing. Now, who wrote this play? Is this something that's been out for a while? Or
her name is Chelsea Mercantile, and I think 2018 or 19
okay.
is when it came out. And of course, you know, COVID hit. And she still had several productions still happened, you know, over time. But it just sort of all shut down, of course, right when this play came out. So in one sense, we're fortunate enough to be doing it before a lot of people see this, because it will be a very popular show all over the country.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sure. And it, yeah, it sounds like it's perfect, too. I mean, it sounds like a blast. That sounds
but yeah, cool. It's all fun. I mean, there's a good storyline, but mm-hmm. again, it's one of those stories where the ensemble of characters is what gives it its heart. It's not just, you know, performance puff. You know, there's a lot of psychology that goes into each person's performance. Each actor has to play both the character and the character's persona.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Because they only appear in the venues as their persona. They don't appear as who they really are. And we get glimpses of who they really are. But, you know, it's just another layer of the show, really creative writing that makes the show so fun to watch.
Oh, that sounds great. And how big a cast is it?
Six.
Six people? Oh, yeah. Okay.
There's more than that character-wise, but, you know, our ensemble, it's kind of like a Peanuts cartoon. Anybody who's not an air guitarist is just a voice, like the parents on Peanuts. We never see them. They're just a voice that we hear.
Right.
So there is an ensemble of other characters that interact with our group, but they're not seen.
Gotcha. Got it. Now, how long have you been working with this, with Theater on the Ridge? Is this something, a long time presence?
I think 37 years, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Newcomer, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
New guy.
Because I worked with them. I did Streetcar Named Desire, like, I think 37 years ago, maybe.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then, you know, I mostly worked in Chico because I moved to Chico. So I didn't work up here for a long time until I became the artistic director.
All
after
right.
I gave up my reins running the Shakespeare in the Park program. I did that for 14 years. And
at
the end of that, I relaxed and came over here and started working up the hill right when everything's caught fire.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Well, I first want to say thank you for Shakespeare in the Park. That was a fabulous
Well, there's some great people taking it over, the Legacy Group. You know, they're really dedicated, great artists. And so I'm happy to see that, you know, it's continuing.
Yeah, yeah. These things keep going on and coming back strong. And it's really nice to see. And how are things going for the theater? You guys getting a foothold again?
It's up and down. You know, we had our last show, Too Many Cooks, was incredibly popular. We had sold out the last weekend. Well, we sold out two of the three performances left, and we probably would have sold out the third. But COVID reared its ugly head in our cast, and we had to cancel the whole weekend.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So that hurts. It's really tough, both on the actors, because it's a long road to get to performance. And so when you're sort of cheated out of a lot of those performances, it hurts. And for the theater, it's the final week in which you hope to make a profit.
Right.
Because the first 2 weeks are just to pay the baseline costs of the show. And it's that third week you count on to put something in the bank for the regular bills.
Yeah.
So it's tough. It's up and down, but the audiences have been great. You know, the fact that even though very few people live up in Paradise yet, they're still coming up there to see, even that, you know, now they live in Chico or they live in Oroville, but they're still coming back to Paradise to see the shows.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And that's what it takes. I was up in Paradise a couple of days ago, and I'm up there every couple of weeks, and it continues to grow and look better. And, you know, there's less construction. The roads they're finishing up, paving Skyway. Everything's it's really starting to take shape.
I've had friends come to town and then it's like, oh, this area didn't get hit too bad, I can see. It's like, no, this area's all gone.
Yeah, it's all gone.
Like, exactly. It's gone. This is the worst area. And they go, oh, doesn't look as bad as I thought. Like, that's because there's nothing here, but, you know, new buildings.
Right,
So the signs of the fire that we lived with for the first year were abandoned cars, twisted, blackened metal. That's all gone.
Yeah. That was tough for, you know, a long, long time. I mean, even the Safeway Plaza is cleared now, and you know, those are
like it never existed.
Yeah, amazing. So let's see, you guys, your website to go to theateronderidge.org.
That is it. It'll have all the information, whether you're interested in a particular show, season tickets, volunteering, auditioning, you can find it all on the website.
Yeah, very good. Very good. And let's give the dates of the, Airness. July 21st to July 31st. Is that correct?
That is. Well, we may extend it because we had to cut a week off our previous show. We're looking into our scheduling to see if maybe we can add a week to this show because we know it'll be popular. Originally, it was just scheduled for those 2 weekends.
Got it. Okay.
We're looking into the possibility. Don't know if it can happen yet.
Yeah. So maybe maybe a little extended run on those things. All right. Very good.
We know it'll be popular.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be very popular. And of course, if people want to get involved with you guys or maybe come see a show or maybe even make a donation to the theater, best thing to go to the website and get a hold of Judy. Is that the way to do it?
That's absolutely correct, Ray.
All right. Very good. And probably the best thing, again, is check out the website. And Judy Clemens is the executive director there. And I'll give out the phone number since I got it right in front of me. 530, of course. 877-5760, theaterridge@gmail.com.
That's it. And do you have a moment for me to plug the shows that are coming up after my show, Airness?
Oh, yes, please.
All right. Because after Airness, we've got another one of our originals, which will be an original musical of Dracula. It's what we call a jukebox musical.
Ah.
Where it's classics, songs woven into the story. And that is looking like it's going to be outstanding. We've got a great cast for it, a great directing team. So we're really excited about that original show. And then following that is Hogfather for the holidays. Huh. And that's one I was really excited about because I'm a big Terry Pratchett fan. And a lot of people don't know who Terry Pratchett is. He's a writer like Douglas Adams that wrote Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, sure.
He works with Neil Gaiman that does the Sandman series. He wrote the Lucifer series on television. Terry Pratchett, before he passed away, he and Neil Gaiman did Good Omens, which they made into a TV miniseries recently. Anyway, he passed away, and he had worked with a small theater company there in England. And when he passed, they decided to let those plays out. They'd never been done by anybody but that one theater company. Wow. And so I grabbed two immediately. And so this will probably be the first time anybody's seen Hogfather in this country.
Wow. All right. And what's the dates on that? Do you have dates set for that?
Oh, we do. I'd have to run and get them.
Well, that's all right. We'll send people to the website. That's fine.
But it's like our October, November show for the holidays before we close for Christmas.
Yeah, stay tuned for that one. And I did see something on the Dracula on your site too. A Hogfather, November 3rd to November 20th. Hogfather.
Oh, there we go. Thank you.
November 3rd to the 20th. And Dracula Musical, September 8th to the 25th. Now, when you say original, did you write some of these?
I have written many of the shows that we do up here, but this one is being done by Amber Miller, no relation.
Okay.
Formerly of the Blue Room.
Oh, okay.
And she has directed with us before. Joe Hilsey, her partner, is also helping with the music. She was our children's theater coordinator most recently as well. But again, long history in theater.
Oh, yeah. Great in this area. Very nice. All right. So let's...
And they've always been excellent.
Very good. So the upcoming shows, Airness is July 21st to the 31st. Dracula Musical is September 8th to the 25th. And Hogfather, November 3 to the 20th.
That's it.
All right.
And there's a few little surprises mixed in, but we're still working on those.
All right. Good. Well, that'll make people go to that website, theateronTheRidge.org, support live theater, support the Ridge for sure. And thank you, sir, for taking time. I know we've kind of squeezed this interview in a little bit. Hope you're feeling better and look forward to hearing from you guys soon.
Not at all. Thank you, Ray.
All righty. Have a great night.
All right, we've got another interview coming to round out the show. Let's thank our underwriters quick. We want to thank DA Lampe Construction, a proud supporter of KCFR and Community Radio in Northern California. More information, visit DA Lampe, L-A-M-P-E, construction.com. And by Mountain Sports, for over 45 years, providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, backpacking, camping, traveling, or just enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports is open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 5:30, 11 to 4 on Sunday, at 176 East 3rd Street in downtown Chico. Thursday night market's out and happening. And don't forget, tomorrow, concerts in the park right there on the City Plaza. Bring your lawn chair.
I would like to welcome Monica McDaniels to the program tonight. And Monica is with the Chico Arts and Cultural Foundation. And there's a lot of titles going on here, but you're the chair of the Arts Commission, right? The City of Chico Arts Commission?
That's correct. I've served on the City Art Commission for 11 years, and this is my third term as the chair of the commission.
And you guys are doing some fundraising. Is that the part of the foundation?
So the foundation is the fundraising auxiliary of the Chico Arts Commission. The Art Commission, being a city entity, cannot do any of its own fundraising. So one of my duties, being an arts commissioner, was to fulfill one of the agreements for the Fine Arts Master Plan, and that was to start this fundraising auxiliary. And that's what the Chico Arts and Culture Foundation is.
Okay, great. Great. Well, it's, we're glad it's here and we're glad it's around. And I know it's been a slippery slope there for a number of years ago, but, it's finally, I think we're finally on solid ground.
I think so too. It's a good place to be.
Yeah, right on. Well, the reason I wanted to reach out to you was I saw that you guys are starting your art tours again, monthly art tours. And I thought, oh, let's bring that up, because that's always, you know, summertime and people coming up to visit.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thank you so much for noticing that. We've been doing these downtown art tours. They started because we noticed in other cities there were docent-led tours. And so that was always one of the goals of the Chico Arts and Culture Foundation, was just to have art tours to raise awareness for the city's public arts collection, and to hopefully gain, for people to gain an understanding about the beauty and the aesthetic artwork that's around them. And so it's exciting to have the tour started again for this year. And the tours take place every first Saturday of the month through October. And they start at 10 a.m. and we meet at the Our Hands sculpture in front of City Hall.
Okay.
Each tour takes about an hour, and it just is an easy stroll through downtown.
Okay, great. Look, checking out the art benches and some of the different projects the city has sponsored.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And so we have a whole new team of people working on the art tours this year to try to get the word out about them. We're looking at possibly collaborating with other entities like the Chico Historical Society, because there's always different ways to perceive some of the arts and culture features that are around us. Our tour is going to be on the 2nd of July. So since it's kind of right before the holiday, we decided that we wanted this to be more of a family-oriented tour. So there's going to be activities for kids and families. All tours are free. We just love it if people show up and join us.
Yeah. How many people do you usually have? You usually have a pretty good crowd?
Yeah, it varies. In the hotter months, people shy away from coming out at 10 a.m. We were always hoping to capture people when they were already at the farmer's market to maybe pick up a tour. I'd say anywhere from 5 to 30 people show up. It always depends on the month.
Yeah, see what the weather's like and how hot is it going to get?
So, what's that?
I said, see how hot it's going to get, so.
Exactly.
Well, that's exciting, you know, and I know that a lot of, you know, there's been architectural tours of downtown and all those historic tours, and it all kind of crosses over, and it's really about appreciating your downtown, getting out and coming down. And I think we take for granted that everybody in Chico goes downtown. And
I
have been walking all over Chico the last few months, and I've realized that I'll bet there's 40% of the people had never come downtown, at least, because Chico has expanded so far out. So, you know, when you have to drive to the supermarket, you know, it's just a little different lifestyle. So I think that a lot of people don't get downtown.
Right. And that's one of the things that we're hoping that people will do, is to just get downtown and enjoy the built environment that the city's created for people. As you know, or may not know, Chico was named the number 10 art town. And I think Deborah was actually instrumental in helping that happen when she was on the commission.
Small and so we always art town in America.
Yes, exactly. So we always think about that. I don't know, it's been a long time since that publication came out, but Chico really is an art town still, whether we're named that in a book or not.
Right.
So many people in Chico are artists of one form or another, whether they paint or make music or even just do quilting or cook a great meal. And so these art tours are mostly about raising awareness that there is so much around us already. And then hopefully learning a little something about Chico history while you're on the walk with us.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you know, they do the garden tours like in May. Well, that is art in itself. I mean, it's just
absolutely, yeah,
it's amazing. And everyone is an artist in some way. People would say, well, I'm not, but you know, if I watch you fold your napkin like that crazy person, I say, well, there you go, it looks like you're making origami there or something.
exactly, Ray. That's exactly what you know, what's important to us to get to people to realize. Yeah,
yeah, and it's you know, it's all part of the palette in some way. So I'm glad to see that that's back and you guys are doing it. And the work that you guys do with the city, I mean, I don't think people really understand the function. You want to explain that a little bit of what the Arts Commission does, kind of?
So the Art Commission is the advisory board to the city council, and so and that has changed, over the years. About, we used to do funding allocations to arts organizations. That changed, and we are doing more things now that, like, we were looking into getting artistic wraps on the PG&E boxes, for instance. And we were looking about helping citizens figure out a way to maintain their art collections, like murals, for instance. One of the things we notice on the art tour is that the Scott Teeple murals, for instance, a lot of them are in disrepair. So the work of the Art Commission is to try to work with the city to try to help citizens figure out how to get and maintain the artwork that they have that benefits the public in general.
Sure, sure. And, you know, hats off to the building owners that allow that, to allow the murals to happen on their properties. And, you know, I mean, it's just super cool. And, you know, as you travel around, you go to some cities, and like I said, all the electrical boxes are like, have really interesting artwork on them. And
yeah.
It's, you know, it's like, yeah, you can do it anywhere. And, you know, it's, you know, hats off to the Chico News and Review for painting their boxes.
Absolutely. And that's one of the shout outs we give during the tour, is just to look at the CNR boxes, because they get local artists to do those treatments on those. And it's a gift. It's a gift to everybody. Anytime that there can be art in the public right of way for everybody to enjoy, is really a great win. And you're absolutely right, Ray, about murals are always on private property. I mean, there's not murals that are publicly owned. They're always privately owned, because there's a private business owner who owns it. And so I completely agree that the more people who can be encouraged to do things like paint murals, it seems small, but it's really huge for helping to maintain art that everybody can enjoy.
Yeah, and it's good for your mental health, and it's good for the aesthetics, and it gives you a little flavor to your town, and they're just cool. They're just fun. I'm always amazed when I see what I haven't seen before, or
yeah,
you know, like downtown, yeah. Like look up. There's one way three stories up in the air. You know, it's just like
exactly, and that's the thing, is that every tour that we go on or that we have, there's always somebody in the crowd who says, wow, I've walked by that particular thing a million times. I never noticed how beautiful it was, or I never noticed the details that were in it. The Salem Street Art Walls, for instance, that was a parking structure that was controversial when it was built. Like, no one wanted a parking structure downtown back in the day. Right. But the art treatment that Dayton Claudio did on the side of that on Salem Street remains one of the most popular and beautiful public art treatments that Chico has. And a lot of times people have never seen it or taken the time to stop and look at it before. And so we really enjoy that part of the tour, is getting people up close, explaining how things were made, explaining how they were paid for, because not everybody's in support of taxpayer dollars going to things that are artistic. But we explain that where the funding came for each individual piece, because that's important for the public to know too.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And it's often from funds that would not have gotten allocated. You can't fix a pothole with that fund. So
thank you for saying that. That's my favorite mantra.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's how it is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and it's, like I said, it's great that it gives personality to the town, and it's just a feel good. It's just a, you know, I know some people feel like, well, art, you know, that's my personal thing. I don't need it outside of my home, or what, I don't even know what they have in their home, but you know what I mean? They have,
yeah.
It's just like, no, man, it's just, it's like a park, you know, it's instead of being in a physical open space, it's a mental open space. It's a place where your brain could go somewhere else instead of thinking about, you know, standing on the corner. So.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's one of the hopes of the Chico Arts and Culture Foundation we've always wanted to train docents. So there wasn't just Mary Gardner and myself giving the tours. And this year we have new members that are part of our board of directors that are really fired up about learning the tour script and giving tours and making it more accessible for the public. Like maybe making a copy of the script and putting it in hotels or making it available for people.
Yeah.
Because we want to corner this market. We want everybody to know this knowledge, and we want to share this information so that people participate in the joy of, like you said, just looking at something beautiful.
Yeah, find some space inside your head.
Exactly.
Hey, thank you so much. Now, do you guys have a website or Facebook to get details? Or
yeah, we are on Facebook, and our website is www.chicoartsandculture.org.
All righty, thank you so much, and thanks for joining us tonight on Beauty Fusion Beyond.
It's my pleasure, Ray. Have a great evening.
Thank you, you too.
All right, you know what that music means? Rolling out of Butte Views. Get ready for peanut butter and jelly time. Sun's starting to give us a little break. Make sure you water those plants. Keep your pets well hydrated and stay cool. Welcome to summer. See you next time on Butte Views and Beyond.
There you go.